Greetings to each of you in the precious name of Jesus. The blessed privilege again to gather together with you all. Yeah, I've just been richly blessed this morning. That song, Standing on the Promises, that third verse always blesses my heart. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior with my all in all. Yeah, it's just a beautiful promise. You know, if our hearts are in tune with God, listening to the Spirit of God as we walk through our daily life, you know, the Spirit of God will nudge us here or there about something, and to be listening to that Spirit very closely. Also, song number 358 blessed my heart this morning as we sing, Christ is the foundation of the house we raise. Be its walls salvation and its gateways praise. May its threshold lowly to the Lord be dear. May the hearts be holy that shall worship here. Verse 3, here may every token of thy presence be. Here may chains be broken, prisoners here set free. Here may light illumine every soul of thine, lifting up the human into the divine. Just some precious promises of God this morning. Yeah, thank you for those thoughts this morning. As we think of Noah, we think of Enoch there. It says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And I would like for each of us to just consider that with our own life. You know, I think of Brother Joe here. There in Hebrews it said, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And so I'd just like to put those together. Brother Joe had this testimony. He was perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. That's Brother Joe's generation. He is older. Now we have Brother Enos and his generation. What is his testimony going to be? He was perfect in his generation. He pleased God. He walked with God. And each of us this morning have a choice to make. Those are some thoughts I had as Emmanuel shared. It was a blessing to me to consider that. In your generation, in my generation, what is my testimony going to be? Then I thought of Saul. What was his testimony in his generation? He walked away from God. And we see many. We see many people in our day walking away from God. What will our testimony be? So we can each just look at our hearts. So yeah, this morning I have a couple of thoughts here in opening. I would like for us to turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And if we could, I'd like for all of us to stand, and I'd like to read this together, if we can. Pay attention to the commas, and we'll just give a brief pause and try to read it together. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father in heaven, as we are here this morning, before your throne room of grace, we come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts, Father. We thank you for the privilege to gather here, to hear your word, to open your word, to have your word, Father, that you have given to us, Father. We just bless you for this word, and we ask, Father, would you teach our hearts this morning as we continue to look at your word. Your word is faithful and true. Your word is pure. It is holy. Your word will stand. Father, in this morning we come with rejoicing in our hearts that we have this firm foundation to stand upon. So, Father, this morning as I bring a word here for the body, I think of the church body. Lord, I pray that you would just help me, Father, to be a vessel for your glory, that the brethren, the church, can be encouraged, can be strengthened, and you could be glorified, Father, with this body. We thank you for the privilege to gather here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I just thought of this psalm this morning as Brother Emmanuel was sharing. You know, walking after the counsel of the ungodly, but our delight is in what God would have us to do. And so, and just to realize that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly. If you do not have the testimony of pleasing God, the Bible says you will perish. So just a couple opening thoughts there. And for a message this morning, I would like for us to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what the Lord has laid upon my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll begin in verse 14. To the end, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. These scriptures here this morning are very precious to me. And as I spent time meditating on them, they became even more precious. As we consider, it says, if any man is in Christ, if any man be in Christ, all things stay the same. Nothing changes. No, it says all things become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. Now, as we consider, and I just think of my life, the old life that I used to live before I was converted. You know, I thought in my life, I was a good person. A very good person. And the standards, if you looked around, according to the standards around us, you know, I was a good person. And it was a big hindrance for me to come to the Lord. Because I would look around me and I would compare myself with everybody around me. And I'm not near as bad as most of the people around me were. I didn't do the things that most of the people did. That was the outward. But the inward man, the inward heart, was the same as the people around me. The things I seen the people around me doing, the desires of my heart were there. I was a very immoral man with my thought life. I didn't have a internet or anything like that, but I was still very immoral with magazines and all those things. But God has made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. When I came to a place, I recognized the wickedness that I was living in. My heart was desperately wicked. I repented before God and confessed these things to my wife. And I became a new creature. And I was very, you know, my mind was saturated with these things, the filth. And I was very intentional about filling my mind with new things, with the Word of God. Now, I would take sticky notes. I would write Bible verses. I would stick them on my steering wheel of my vehicle, on my dash of my vehicle, and purposed to fill my mind with the things of God. To cleanse my mind. The Word of God cleanses. And so I just share that this morning as we think of being a new creature in Christ Jesus, where old things are passed away and all things become new. And this morning, as if you're in here and you've been born again by the Spirit of God, where you clearly know that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, Where old things are passed away and all things become new, you're a different person than you used to be. It says here that you were reconciled back to God by Jesus Christ. Who reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Where I was at odds with God, I was separated from God. Through Jesus Christ, we became one. We were reconciled. Doesn't that excite your heart this morning? If you're reconciled, if you are made one with God, it says you have been given something. It says there in verse 18, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what I'd like to title this message this morning, the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given that. If we have been made one with God, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Then in the next verse he says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This word, he committed it to us. Some powerful truths here. He hath reconciled us. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation if we've been reconciled back to God. And he committed this word of reconciliation to us. You know, he could have committed the word of God to the angels. He could have committed it to anything else but us. But he chose mankind, who has been reconciled back to him. He chose mankind and he committed this word to us. And he has given us this ministry of reconciliation to share this word that man can be reconciled back to God. And we've been hearing these testimonies of that happening. And it's a marvelous thing. Now that he has committed this word of reconciliation to us, he says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors. We're his representatives. We have this word of reconciliation. It has transformed our lives. It has made us one with God. And now he has committed this word to us, and we are to be his representatives. I think of being an ambassador. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. You know, we are called to be an ambassador, his representatives. You know, at times we can think, does it do any good? You know, depending what we're who we're sharing with or where we're at, does it do any good? But I would like for us to turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in the drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build up the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Some beautiful scriptures there. If we are in his ambassadors, you know, we're called passage here. Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And as we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, as we're his representatives, as I shared, sometimes we have the enemy wants to tempt us with this thought, does it really do any good? But we're just called to be his representatives. We're called to share the word. He says that he will take care of it. He says, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. If the Spirit of God is prompting you to share the Word of God with someone, you trust the Word of God into his hands. You are called to be his ambassador. You're called to be his representative. You know, if I'm an ambassador for the U.S., but I am ashamed of the country of U.S., of the U.S., you know, and everything about it, what kind of ambassador will I be? What kind of representative will I be if I'm ashamed of my country? I won't be an ambassador. I won't say anything. And so I'd like to just encourage us, if we have confidence in my country, I am not ashamed of my country. You know, the slogan, we're the land of the brave and the free. We have power. I won't be ashamed of it because I have confidence. How much more if we have experienced the reconciling power of Jesus Christ? The reconciling power of Jesus Christ to transform me from this old sinful creature to a new creature. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, where we've been made one with God through Jesus Christ. Now, if we've experienced this power, this transforming power of being made free, you know, like this country says, we're the land of the free. We have power. But we have power in Jesus, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have power to be free. Hallelujah. We have power to be free from the bondage of sin. We have confidence toward God. So we can confidently share his word. We have confidence toward God. We have confidence in his word that he committed to us. It's not our word. He committed it to us. It's his word. It's the word of God. (Clears throat) Now I'd like to turn to Isaiah 58, where I had read earlier there. Isaiah 58. I might just read him again, and we'll start in verse 8. Isaiah 58, 8 says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth of thy finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build up the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." You know, as we read these scriptures, as I read these scriptures this morning, I had to repent. You know, at times, I don't always feel like that spring of water whose waters fail not. But we have this word. We have the word of reconciliation. He has given it to us. It says, "The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought." So we have no reason not to be like the spring of water. It says, "And make thy fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, a well-irrigated garden." And I get this picture of Brother John was sharing as they were in Colorado, the place where they were. Nothing grows there except where it's irrigated. You know, everything is green where it's irrigated. But like a spring of water, that is daily flowing out from us. We have the word that is committed unto us. And if we've been made one with God, there should be fresh water flowing, faithfully flowing from our hearts and lives each day. Then as we look at verse 12, it says, "And they that shall be of thee shall build up the old waste places." You know, those that have been made one with God shall build up the old waste places. And my thoughts just went, we hear of many broken homes. We hear of many churches, struggling churches. And he says here that you will help build up these old waste places, the places that have been broken down by sin and allowed things to destroy them. Or maybe they've never been made one with God. But we're called to build up these old waste places, to restore these waste places. To raise up the foundations. The psalmist asks the question, If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I think in Psalms 3, verse 11. What can the righteous do? Here's our answer. Let's raise up the foundation. Let's build them up. Those of us that have been made one with God, those of us that have been reconciled with God, let's build up the foundation of repentance and faith toward God. Repentance from sin and walking in newness of life, the foundation. Let's raise up the foundation. Then it says, if we raise up the foundations, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. And I had to think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he had a burden when he saw the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. He had a burden that these walls would be built up. So he asked the king, and the king allowed him to go back, and he circled the city at night, and he was looking over the walls. And he got things together there, and he started building the walls. I'm just paraphrasing. He started building the walls, building up the walls. But what happened? What happened when he started building the walls? Sanballat and Tobiah, they tried to get him distracted. They tried to get him distracted. It says there in, I think, chapter 6, it says they sent five different times, they sent letters to him. They wanted him to come to this certain city. They wanted to meet with him. But he wasn't distracted. Nehemiah wasn't distracted. He said, I have a work to do here. I have a work to do here. I'm not coming. He kept faithfully building the walls. Yeah, he kept faithfully building the walls. And as I think of him, he was giving direction to the people there. And they kept faithfully building the walls. And then because he didn't come out to meet Sanballat and Tobiah, they said they're gonna come fight him. They're gonna come destroy what he's doing. And so Nehemiah just takes up courage. And what does he do? He gives direction. He tells his men, to all the people, to grab their swords with one hand, and we're going to keep building with the other. How many of you tried that? We got our sword in one hand, and we're going to keep building with the other. Faithfully kept building the wall. And I had to think of Ephesians chapter 6 in our day. You know, we are here today. We're in 2026. And we go out day to day. We go about our work. We're not faced with someone coming trying to destroy the work we're doing, tear down the walls and all that. But we're faced with an enemy. And if we're distracted in our life, if we're distracted with the things of this life. And I thought of the armor here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against men. We don't wrestle against other people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the things that we're wrestling against. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. The truth, the word that he has committed unto us, having your loins girt about with truth. Having the truth of God in our hearts. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts of the wicked, having the shield of faith, where we can quench the fiery darts of immorality that we are plagued with in our world, the things that we see and face every day, the fiery darts of whatever it may be, maybe the cares of this life. Those fiery darts, having the shield of faith, where we're able to quench those fiery darts. They're not taking over our life. The shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. Then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As we take this armor of God, we have this armor on. We're walking in the Spirit, but then we're praying for all saints. Because the enemy is out to destroy who? The wicked? No, the saints. The enemy is out to destroy the saints. The wicked are already his. And so we need to recognize what we are fighting against. And I believe you all know that. But just as a reminder again today, just to walk with the armor of God each day of our life. And to have that armor on, where we're like this watered garden. A beautiful picture. Beautiful pictures that we can get from Scripture. So in Isaiah 58:12 there, we looked at the repairer of the breach. Nehemiah was a repairer of the breach. And if we look at Nehemiah chapter 6, the testimony there of Nehemiah, in chapter 6, verse 16, it says, and it came to pass, Nehemiah rebuilt this wall in 52 days. He built this wall. And it says that, and it came to pass that when our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. And we can have that testimony of being a people that are raising up the foundations, repairing the breaches, and people will look, when the people look on, they will have to say, this is a work of God. This is a work of God. Then the last part of verse 12 there says, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. The restorer of paths to dwell in. And I'd like to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The old paths. These are the old paths, restorer of the paths. We hear today of people wanting to walk on new paths. They find new revelations and new things that God is showing them. But if it isn't repentance and faith toward God and walking in holiness, it's a new path. It's not the old path that brings us back, reconciles us to God. Reconciling us back to God, making us one with Him. The old paths. And the last part of that verse there in chapter 6 of Jeremiah says, but they said, we will not walk therein. And that's what we hear many people saying today. We will not walk therein, in that old path, the path of truth, the path of holiness, the path of righteousness that separates us from this world. They want to walk in new paths. But here it says, if you walk in the old path, where is the good way? The good way. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Sounds like the words of Jesus in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The restorer. The restorer of the paths to dwell in. That's what it says here in Isaiah chapter 58, that we will be called the repairer of the breach. And so I'd like to just leave those thoughts with you today. Those thoughts of, are we being faithful in our generation? Are we leaving a testimony behind of being one that is a repairer of the breach, fixing, addressing the problem where sin is taking over and raising up the foundation? You know, I had to think of, I just thought of this the other day. Thursday we were at Norman's pouring his basement walls. And we formed everything up and we started pouring these walls. But it was interesting. Everybody was watching closely. You know, we'd come pouring around a window or the door, we're watching. Wait, stop, let's get another 2x4, let's screw this together, make sure. And it was like that as we went all the way around the basement walls. You know, we're paying attention, making sure we're not going to have any blowouts. Paying attention to what we are allowing in our lives. paying attention to the things that we are doing. What is it doing to our life? I'd just like to read in closing here, 2 Corinthians. I'd like to read verse 18 and 19 again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And also the last part of verse 19, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He hath committed this word unto us, and we are called to be his ambassadors as we live our day-to-day life. May the Lord bless you.